Hi guys, and welcome to the Tales of an African Princess in America. My name is Ozzy. So we're starting a series of episodes on the podcast about exceptional women who have turned their passion into a thriving business. And today on the podcast, we have an amazing woman, Molly Stillman, who has done just that. Welcome, Molly.
Hey, Ozzy. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad that you could make it on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So while I was getting ready for this episode, I did a little bit of digging. I wanted to, you know, find out for myself, do a little bit of research and find out who you really are. And one of the things that I found out was that you have worn so many hats. You've done so many different things. And I really don't want to miss anything by introducing you and missing out one of these exceptional things that you've done. So I'm going to give you a chance to let our listeners get to know a little bit more about you today.
Well, thank you so much. So my name is Molly Stillman, and I am a wife to John, and I am a mom to Lily and Amos, and I am a full-time blogger and podcaster. Awesome. But I have, you know, I have that obviously not always done that. And it's funny because the route I took to this business is definitely not one that I would have originally said that you know, right. I didn't grow up saying like, I'm a blogger and a podcaster, because that didn't exist.
How did that happen? The whole idea about blogging.
Yeah. So I was, in college, I was a English major with a concentration in creative writing. And so I always loved to write. It's just always been a passion of mine. And I was a trained sketch and improvisational comedian. And when I graduated college, I was doing comedy by night, but by day, my first job out of college actually was in politics. I was working for Virginia Governor Tim Kaine at the time. Mm-hmm. And then when my fellowship ended working for Governor Kaine, I went to become a high school English teacher. Mm-hmm. And so I'm 21, 22 years old, and I'm teaching high school English. And I looked like I was in high school. I would literally be walking in the hall, and I would get asked for a hall pass by like a teacher I didn't know. I was like, yeah, no, I work here.
Well, that's so funny.
Yeah. But during this time, so in 2007, I just really was looking for an outlet to kind of play around with some of my comedic writing and my satirical writing. And so I started this blog, and I really wanted it to be like this big comedy website.
Right.
And it just really was an outlet where I could just write about whatever. And pretty soon, within a year or two, so this was, I guess, like late spring, 2007 is when I started it. And then in the fall of 2008, it just began to transition a little bit. And I started to write more about what was just going on in my life. And then in the summer of 2009, I moved from Virginia to North Carolina. And this was at like the bottom had fallen out of the economy, recession hit, and I couldn't find a job. And so I was working literally four jobs. I was working at a radio station part-time. I was working at a retail store. Mm-hmm. I was working at an art gallery, and I was food running at a bar.
And you still found time to run your blog?
And then I was writing, and I was writing all the time. But this was, you know, at a point where I was just writing more about what was going on in my life and sharing, you know, bits and pieces of my story. And all of a sudden I realized that there were people reading it that weren't my dad, my sister. And I realized that sharing my life with people, that my writing was resonating with people. And so I kept writing. I eventually was able to leave some of those other jobs. And then I began working at the radio station full time as the director of marketing.
Okay.
And so I was working in marketing at this radio station. It was a small radio station here in the Chapel Hill, Durham area. And so you kind of just wear all of the hats. And so I was doing on-air work, and I was doing creative work, and I was doing voiceover work and website work and marketing and all those things. And so I had I was introduced to a lot of different types of work, and I was really building a pretty wide skill set.
Right.
But I was continuing to work on the blog. And it just, again, it was this creative outlet that I just really enjoyed working on.
Right. So it sounds like when you started out, it wasn't something that you did because you wanted to make money from it. It was just like a hobby or something you were passionate about, right?
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So it was just something that I really enjoyed. I mean, it had never even crossed my mind that it was something that I could do for a living. Right. And I thought, like, I kept working on it because I enjoyed it and I loved it. But I also was like, well, maybe this will lead to like a career in writing. You know, maybe this will, you know, turn into, because I have a dream of writing a book. And so I just kind of kept working on it because I thought maybe it would lead to something else. Right. And then fast forward. By 2012 is when I really started to take it seriously and begin treating it like a business. I realized that I could start monetizing it. So I slowly but surely started monetizing it. I just really was doing whatever I could to grow it. And it wasn't affecting, like, it wasn't changing the content. I just was being a little bit more strategic with it. And then by late 2013, early 2014, I'd gotten it to the point where I could leave my day job. My first daughter was born and I was able to quit my day job, and I wasn't able to like quite fully replace my income, but my husband and I kind of looked at the numbers and he said, you know, I think you know, we've got enough to where you can now, you know, I can leave my other job and I can build it up to one point. You know what I mean? So we looked at it and it was, I would say it was about equivalent to like what I was making as a teacher. So, you know,
right.
So I was able to quit my day job and I was able to start blogging full time. And then, in the fall of 2016, I started a podcast and kind of the rest is history.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Yeah.
So, how did you decide what you wanted to blog about? Like, did you just, you know, decide to talk about everything about your life, or how did you like zone in and decide that, okay, this is what my blog is going to be about?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think it really, it really changed over time. I mean, because I look it back at some of those early posts I'd written when, you know, it was going to be like a comedy blog. And I was like, oh my, I look back at some of those. I'm like, that's embarrassing. Like, this stuff is so bad. But yeah, so I mean, I started sharing because during this time, just in my own personal life, I had come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so I began sharing stories of kind of my faith journey. I got engaged. And so I was sharing stories of that. And I was sharing stories of our wedding. And then, you know, I got pregnant. And so I just started sharing bits and pieces of my life. But during this time, a lot was just changing for me as a person. And I began to, in 2011, I began to really dive into learning more and more about what it looks like to shop fair trade and ethical fashion and things like that. This was after my first trip to Kenya in the summer of 2011.
Okay.
And so my passion really began to lie in, you know, empowering men and women all around the world, both domestically and abroad, with sustainable income and jobs and just the power that a job can create, what a job can do in somebody's life. And so I just started writing more and more about that kind of stuff. I began to tap into, okay, what are the passions that God has placed in my life, and what are the gifts that I feel that He's given me, and how can I use those gifts to inspire and encourage and challenge other people? So that was really where it kind of ended up, and that's my goal today.
Right. And so you talked about the fact that you now have a podcast, right? And is the podcast kind of like an extension of your blog, or is it like now you're talking about something entirely different from your blog?
Great question. It's an extension of the blog for sure. It's a different name. My blog is called Still Being Molly, and then the podcast is called Business with Purpose. Because really my goal with the podcast, so I love sharing the stories of businesses, brands that are trying to change the world. That's just something I really love to talk about. And there's only, you know, I believe so much that you can inspire people and encourage people through the written word, through photography. Mm-hmm. But there's something about hearing somebody's story between emotion and inflection and tonality, like really hearing the voice of somebody tell their story that is it's a little bit more powerful. And so I wanted to create an outlet where I could talk to all types of entrepreneurs and business owners who are changing the world and share their stories. And so I started that podcast as kind of just an extension of the blog so I could further share the stories of these people who are doing incredible things.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And it's been like 12 years, Molly, since you started your blog. Mm-hmm. Did you ever take a break, or how have you stayed consistent? What is the motivating factor? What's the driving force that just keeps you doing it?
Yeah. So I never took like an official break. I mean, I'd say between 2007 and 2012, there would be times where, you know, I would maybe not do a post for like a month or something like that. But I always was just itching to get back to writing. And so it was just, I love to write. That's how I process things. That's how my brain works, is when I feel stressed or I feel like I have a lot going on in my head. Like I need to write down what's going on in my head, because it's how I process through things. And it's not like I publish everything that I write.
Right.
But it's really helped me. And so then when I really started to treat the blog more like a business in 2012, that's when I really began to get serious about writing on a schedule and publishing content frequently. And so for a few years, I wrote 5 to 7 days a week, and I would have new posts up that much. Now, just because of time, and also I've just kind of changed my strategy a little bit. And then with kids, I mean, it's hard. It's being a working mom is, right. I mean, being a mom is hard, period. But being a working mom is also an added challenge, especially when you work for yourself and you work from home.
Right.
Now I'm just a little bit more strategic in my posting. So I probably post between 3 and 4 times a week now.
Okay. And you were talking about being a working mom and working from home. Working from home, I feel like you have to decide what your structure is going to be, right?
Yeah.
I think about myself working from home and I'm like, oh my God, I will be in the kitchen the whole day. How do you like structure your day so that you're actually getting stuff done? Yeah. How do you do that?
Yeah. And you know, it is ever changing. It's ever evolving. You know, it looked really different when my first child was born and she was a newborn and couldn't crawl. Like she napped a lot. And so I just would put her in a bassinet next to my desk and while she slept. And then when she woke up, we'd play. And then I'd, you know, she'd nap again. But now, you know, we've gotten into a good routine. So my daughter is 5 and a half and my son just turned 3. And so our days typically, my kids are in preschool in the mornings. Okay. And so Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, both of my kids are in school in the morning. So, you know, I get up, I read my Bible, I go to the gym, come home, shower, get the kids ready, and I take them to school. And then I work in the morning while they're at school. And then when I pick them up around lunchtime, we eat lunch, come back, and we play for a little bit. And then when my son goes down for his nap in the afternoon, my daughter, she doesn't nap anymore. So she does quiet time. And that is good for both mommy and daughter. that quiet time is key. And then, so while she's having quiet time, I work.
Okay.
And then my husband is also self-employed. So we both work for ourselves. He's not a blogger. he's a financial advisor, you know. So then we try to limit our times working at home, but you know, it's hard. So what we've tried to do this year is we pick like one night a week where we say, okay, this is the night where after the kids go to bed, we're going to work.
Okay.
And then we try to other nights during the week, say, okay, you know what, whatever it doesn't get done by 5 isn't going to get done that day. And it'll just have to wait till the next day. With kids, you have to be flexible. So there are some days where a kid gets sick and they can't go to school and my plans are out the window and I've got to just figure it out. So
okay. So when I went to your website, you know, because that's where I got a lot of information about you, one of the things that I saw there was very obvious that you're, you know, you're a Christian and that influences a lot of things that you do. I guess a lot of the perception about Christians is when you think about Christians, you don't think about fashion, you don't think about style, you know,
yeah,
about people who are depriving themselves of all these things that people think are like vanity. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So how has that, being a Christian, shaped the kind of content that you put out? You know, how have you been able to pretty much be a Christian and still continue to talk about fashion and style and all these awesome things that everyone wants to hear about, but there's that perception that Christians really shouldn't be talking about these things?
No, that's a great question. You know, and I, yeah, certainly over the years, there have been people that have been kind of giving me that pushback. But I think for me, you know, I think about all of these beautiful, amazing things that God has created in this world, you know, and even just treating our body like a temple and all of those things. And like, for me, you know, my identity is not in a nice outfit or makeup or, you know, the way my hair looks. My identity is not found in any of those things. Right. For me, my identity is in who Jesus sees me as and as his daughter. But there is just this, for me personally, like I feel better. I feel stronger. I feel more able to take on the day when I've showered and put makeup on and like put a nice outfit on that just makes me feel good. You know, I can't speak for Jesus, but I don't feel like Jesus wants me to feel like I'm schlepping around all day. You know what I mean? Like, right. And if you love yoga pants and that's what you wear, like that's totally fine. But like, for me, I just feel better and more productive when I am in something that makes me look and feel good. And certainly there are days where I'm like, yep, nope, I do not feel like actually putting on real clothes today. Like, you know what I mean? Right. But I think that too, but you know, so often, and especially women, and you know, and I always think it's funny too, because like if a man like puts on nice clothes or like brushes his hair or like puts on cologne or something, like you never hear like other men be like, dude, check your heart. Like right. your identity is right. Christ. Like right. why you care what you look like? Like if nobody ever says that to a guy. So like, why is it always said to us? Mm. And it's like, women have like put this thing on ourselves. Mm. And so, you know, I just think about like, how can I inspire other women to find their identity in Christ, but also allow themselves to take care of themselves? Because right. women, we are always the ones that are first to sacrifice our own selves for our children, for our husband, for our friends. Like we kind of give up sometimes our own identities. And this is so common, especially in motherhood.
Right.
I have heard from so many moms who are like, I haven't showered in 3 days because my kids. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, I am okay with, for me personally, like I'm okay letting my kids watch a show for 30 minutes in the morning so I can take a shower, because I'm a better mom to them when I have, you know, like there's that saying of like, you can't drink from an empty cup. So you have to fill your own cup before you try and fill up somebody else's.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that a lot of that is where it stems from. And then two, my big passion, like I said earlier, is really in sharing businesses and brands that are impacting the world in a positive way. And I'm very intentional in saying, like, I never tell anybody that they need this thing. Like, I don't want you to go out and buy something if it's going to put you in financial trouble. Like, you need to be a good steward of the things that God has given you and your finances. And I don't believe into going into debt, you know, and I believe in giving generously and all of those things. But if you do have the means and you do want to buy something, like, let me share a brand with you that you can buy from that is providing jobs or is, you know, manufacturing their goods ethically. And those are things that I, you know, it's fighting human trafficking. Like, those are the things that I love to talk about. And I believe that you can use a platform and you can use social media and redeem the internet for so much good.
That's amazing. Like when I went to your Instagram page, for instance, I did not need to be told what your brand was about. I could see it. Your brand is about purposeful living, people realizing that they were born with purpose and, you know, supporting other women. And I just could see that from your brand and just hearing your story. Yeah. And so I really, really enjoyed just being on your page and finding a little bit more about you.
Thank you, Ozzy. I appreciate that.
Right. You're welcome. So one of the questions I was going to ask you is, are there brands that you will not work with?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, and for me, it's more about my own personal values and making sure that if I do work with a brand that they align with my personal values. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I say no to a lot of brands, you know, cause I know for one reason or another that it doesn't match up with my personal values, and I'm okay with that. And sometimes it's difficult, you know, like when you're right. like, you think
you're turning down money.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just have to trust that I'm like, you know what, a better opportunity that's going to be the right fit is going to come along. And God has been so faithful in that every single step of the way. And so I just, sometimes it's hard because I want to look and see, you know, 5-6 months down the road, or I want to see next year or 2 years down the road. And I just have to kind of do the next right thing that's in front of me. And, you know, if that particular opportunity is not a good fit, I have to say no.
You have to say no. Okay. And so there are a lot of people who are starting to go into blogging. And of course, when you got into blogging, I'm sure there weren't a lot of people doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not at all.
Right. And so for the people who are trying to go into blogging, do you have any tips? Do you have any advice? You know, how do you monetize this? You know, how do you make money from blogging? Because a lot of people go into it and then they do it for like a year and they're like, oh, I'm not making anything from this. This is you know, because it looks easy.
It does. That's a great question. There are two things I would say first. Okay. One, if you are going into blogging in the hopes of making money, I highly suggest you find a different occupation. if you are going into blogging because you love it and it is something that would be fun for you and you think maybe one day it could make money, then do it. Do it. But if your number one goal off the bat is just to make money, I recommend finding another business to do because it's hard. It is so hard. And people don't realize how difficult blogging can be and how competitive it is. And, you know, it is not writing and taking pictures of yourself and putting them on the internet. Like, it is so much more than that. You're talking about, you know, everything from branding to website development, search engine optimization, affiliate marketing, like contracts. And there's just so, I mean, that's business ownership. It doesn't matter what business you own. Like, any business you own is going to have sort of that minutia that you have to deal with. And if you are not prepared to like work through that, then I just would suggest something else. But I say that with all, like, if blogging is something that you want to do, do it. I encourage and support women and men who want to blog and do it. I teach blogging classes and I love it. I love seeing when people say like, oh, I got my blog up and running. Like, I celebrate that.
Right.
And so then that second thing would be like, and don't buy into the lie that says that there's not enough room for your voice, because there are millions of blogs out there. There are so many podcasts out there. So don't let the fact that there's so many out there stop you, because the fact of the matter is there's only one you. And so your voice and your perspective is unique. So if you come into this business and you say like, I have something to say from my perspective, you can be successful. But if you create it and you just want to try and replicate what everybody else has done and look like what everybody else is doing, then you're not going to stand out, because it's going to just be noise. Right. But if you create a space for yourself that invites other people in to be a part of a story, you can absolutely be successful. So those are my two things I say off the bat. And then as far as like, I mean, you could do an entire podcast episode on how you make money blogging. but I mean, my main revenue streams, I highly encourage people to diversify your income. So don't put all of your eggs in one basket.
Okay.
So I earn money through affiliate marketing. I earn money through standard, like kind of traditional banner advertising. Sponsored collaborations with brands or advertisers. And then I also teach, I speak, do event hostings, in-person content that generates revenue. And then I have the podcast. So there's like lots of different ways that you can make money doing it. And I don't try to rely on one particular stream of income over another, because inevitably, you know, if I have 1 month where maybe my affiliate revenue is lower, then the next month, another maybe sponsored content is higher. Or then the next month, my banner advertising revenue is higher and my sponsored content is down. So it all kind of evens out in the end.
Okay. Okay. And that's important that we talk about that, because a lot of times people look at your social media and they're like, wow, you make it look so easy. And because of that, everybody wants to do it. But they're not realizing the amount of hard work that goes to it. They don't realize that, wow, this is a lot of sleepless nights. You know, you're sacrificing time with family, probably, you know, they don't see all that work. But it's important that you're sharing these tips and these ways that women can, or people who want to blog can, you know, keep these in mind to help them, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. So now we've talked about all of this. And is it really capital intensive to become a blogger?
No, I mean, there's certainly ways that you can start off and spend little to no money. I mean, I spent little to no money early on in the beginning. I mean, for a long time, I lost money on the blog because, you know, paying for hosting or paying for domain names, that kind of stuff. Now, it definitely, my expenses are much higher now. Because, I mean, my site is bigger. So I have, like, I pay somebody that manages all the technical sides of my site. Mm-hmm. I have a graphic designer. I pay an SEO person now. Mm-hmm. I have an assistant. So I have, like, things that cost me money now. But I'm able to spend money on those things now so that it frees me up to better use my skills elsewhere. Because for years, like, I did everything myself, and that is not, I do not recommend that, because I am not a graphic designer and I am not a website developer. So I spent so much time on YouTube, like, trying to teach myself, and it was really difficult. So, I mean, I'm grateful that I'm at a point now that I can hire other people that are good at that to do it for me. And it frees me up to be able to actually do what I'm good at. So no, it does not, you know, it's certainly low cost to start, but like any business, you have to spend money to make money. So really, if you want to grow, you're going to have to invest in a good website, and you're going to have to invest in website hosting and your domain names and photography and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, it definitely does cost money, but you can certainly, when you're starting out, do it in a more affordable way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you so much. Last thing I'm going to ask you is, as a blogger, how do you decide what is too much to share? You know, because do you ever struggle with, oh, I'm sharing too much? You know, because I find that it's the stories that we kind of hesitate a little bit to share that connect with people the most, right?
Yeah, that is a great question. And for me, it definitely varies. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, there are certain things that, like, they are, you know, it comes to things with my family, like, or things with my kids or things with my marriage, like, certainly there are things that I'm not going to share. But I have found that in certain situations, you know, becoming really vulnerable and sharing something really personal has been therapeutic for me. And also, it's created an opportunity for me to connect with my readers on a deeper level. A couple examples that I can think of off the top of my head was the first being back in 2012 when I shared my story of how I became debt-free. That was something I was terrified to write about because I was so ashamed of the financial mistakes that I had made and the situation I'd gotten myself into and then how I got myself out of it. I mean, I was embarrassed, and I had not shared that with even my family. But when I finally became debt-free and I realized, I said, you know what, I need to share about this. I did. And the emails and messages I got from people saying, oh my gosh, thank you so much for sharing that. Like, I went through this too, or I'm going through this too. It was very freeing. And then last year in 2018, my husband and I, we lost two pregnancies during the second trimester. And that was one of the most difficult things that we've ever walked through, for sure. And I had certainly thought about not sharing it, but I mean, with the first one we lost in the second trimester, I mean, I'd already announced that I was pregnant. So, cause I mean, I was in the second trimester. So I had to say something with that one, but I could have chosen to just kind of say, like, we lost this pregnancy, I don't want to talk about it, and move on. But instead, for me, because, and I think this just because writing is therapeutic for me, I chose to be pretty open with it, and share about the process of naming our son and having him cremated and all the things that we went through with all of that. And then when we got pregnant again and then lost another baby in the second trimester, you know, I could have not shared that. But for me, it was important to honor the lives of our children that, you know, we never got to really meet, and to share their stories and share their names. And the amount of women who have emailed me or shared with me, like, their own stories of loss. I mean, and I had women who said, like, I had someone who, like, sent the article to her mom, and, like, her mom had emailed me and said, I lost a baby 35 years ago and I never talk about it anymore. But, like, you sharing your story has allowed me to grieve for that child that I lost 35 years ago. And so all of a sudden, so many women were saying, like, thank you for sharing, because now I feel like I have permission to be able to name the child I didn't know and things like that. Like, and that is an important thing because, you know, especially with miscarriage and pregnancy loss and stillbirth, like it's just not something that we talk about as much as we should,
right?
With as often as it happens. And so yeah, I think I have to be very, intentional and I have to be prayerful about what I share, but sometimes I do think it is important and helpful to share something that's a little bit more vulnerable.
Right, right. And I think so too. I think our stories are really powerful. When you start to share your stories, you're realizing that there's so many people who all of a sudden they're like, yeah, that happened to me, or that happened to someone I know. But we never talk about these things. You know, if people would share these things, you know, it would help other women who are going through really difficult times like these find out that they're not alone in the things that they struggle with. And so, you know, that's something that I really applaud you for sharing. I know that must have taken a lot from you to share that, but it's a really, really powerful, powerful, powerful story. And thank you for sharing that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I know it was a difficult time for you. I'm so sorry for your loss, but thank you for sharing your story. That was one really powerful thing. When I went through your social media, I actually spent a long time on that because I was like, wow, because there are a lot of women who have either had a miscarriage, but nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you saying that.
No, thank you.
You were listening to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please visit our website, talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com. You can also email us talesbydrozy@gmail.com. You can follow us on social media on Facebook, Tales of an African Princess in America, or on Instagram, African Princess in America. If you enjoy this podcast, please leave a rating on iTunes. Welcome back.
Congratulations on the success of your podcast, blog.
Thank
you for sharing your story. I know a lot of women would be able to take from your story. I know a lot of people who are trying to start their own businesses would have learned a thing or two from you. So thank you for sharing today on the podcast.
I loved chatting with you. So thank you so much for having me. I really feel honored.
Do you know that about 1 in every 3 people in the United States listen to at least 1 podcast every month? That's millions of people listening. And do you also know that every month, thousands of podcast listeners listen to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast? Well, do you have a business, service, or event that you would love others to hear about? Then look no further. To promote your services on the podcast, send an email to talesbydrozy@gmail.com today. Or you can visit our website at www.talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com.